I grew up in a, you know, upper working class house in Dublin where my father was a sort of amateur tenor, and, you know, we listened to the opera, which was, I suppose, a strange thing on our street, and he was the, you know, towering talent of the age in opera. I never thought I would get a chance to meet him, let alone write a song for him, perform with him.
How did the song come about?
He's, well, you know, he's a great flatterer. You know, he makes you feel like the man, and a great emotional arm twister. You know, it's a very hard man to turn down. He used to, he called me to ask for a song, but then he would go as far as calling our housekeeper here, Teresa in Dublin, and he would call her regularly, like once a week, and say, "Is the song finished yet?" And she was like, "Why are you calling me? You know, you should be, you know, call their management." "No, no, I know that you'll keep this idea alive in the house." And sure enough, we wrote him a song, and he loved it, and it was great. But then he started calling Teresa because he wanted us to play his blessed festival in Modena. And so then Teresa would be bothering me over breakfast with, you know, "Are you doing the concert?" And eventually, I tried to talk the band into it. They said, "No, we're recording, we're in the studio." So he turned up in Dublin, unannounced, with a film crew, and knocked at the door of the studio and said, "Have you made up your mind yet?" And he got at least half of it anyway to do his festival in Modena. An extraordinary man, to be sure.
What was he like as company?
Great, great fun. I mean, the song we wrote for him was called Miss Sarajevo, and we did lots of events and concerts around the war in Bosnia. But I do remember flying in one of those kind of Air Force planes where you have to be strapped in and you're wearing a hard hat and you're being shook around the sky and looking around at the big man. We used to call him the Pavlova, the big man, as he pulled out of his haversack a giant cheese. I mean, twice the size of his head, a big Parmesan cheese, and he was spooning it out, saying, "This is from Reggio Emilia. It's the best cheese in the world." And just great fun, constantly looking for new ideas, you know, new people, new song forms, insatiable intellectual curiosity, actually.
You stayed at his summer house.
Very first time we went to record, went to Pesaro, which is where his summer house is in Italy, there on the coast. And I was struck with how bohemian he lived there. There was a microphone at the end of the bed. We had to wait, of course, for a big lunch before we would record him. Then I said, "Will we record now?" He said, "No, now we have to sleep." I said, "Oh, okay, I suppose you would, you know, siesta." So then after the siesta, I said, "Can we record now?" He said, no, I have to warm up the voice now." I said, "Well, of course you would." So I wait for an hour for him to warm up the voice. I said, "Now can we record?" He says, "No, just a little bowl of pasta, and then we'll sing." So eventually we got him to sing, and of course all the dance and all the life and the largeness of that life just disappear when he sings. And you know, you hear people talk about the power of his voice dimming in the last years, but there are people who don't know anything about opera or singing. The truth of it is that it's never about technique. It's not about hitting those high C's. It's about the empathy of a voice that hits those top C's. And he lived the opera in a way. Some people sing it. He was it. And I watched on that day, you know, I had that happy, sad feeling we all have when we hear his voice. It's an extraordinary thing. And yeah, I watched it up close.
You spoke to him only last week?
I spoke to him this time last week, but I spoke, he tried to speak, but he really was slipping away. And then I was going to see him on Monday, and Nicoletta, his wife, said, "Well, maybe it's going to be too late. You should stay where you are. We're calling the family around." And then last night at about 11, she sent me a text saying to pray for him, that he was really in the last hours of his life. And then at about 5, she texted me to say that he had left us. But, you know, I feel sorry for for Nicoletta and for little Alice, you know, his baby girl, all his daughters. Of course, he lost his son, Alice's twin, with complications at birth. I mean, wherever there was joy, tragedy was around the corner with him, I think. But he left us with this great, great, great body of work. And I'm lucky to have met this great, great, extraordinary body of a man.
And his extraordinary voice, which could hold the audience in big stadium shows. You've got an extraordinary voice that can hold the audience in big stadium shows. You have that in common.
Well, no, it's a different thing, you know. I mean, I've learned about singing from him, and I think I'm a better singer for knowing him. But this was like, I feel like I'd be standing in comparison on a volcano, on the side of a volcano. This is a volcanic eruption that happens when, you know, when he goes into one. But again, I repeat to you, it's not just the agility or the pitch of the voice that people talk about, those big notes. It's the big heart behind the big notes. It's empathy. It's a life truly lived. That's what makes him the greatest tenor of the age.
And just finally, you talked about his extraordinary body of work. If you're reaching, as I suspect you may be today, maybe you've already done this, for one track, what do you reach for?
I can't, because we wrote the song for him, I think it's one of the best U2 songs. And, you know, you can forget about our bits, if you will, but he sang so beautifully on that. And, you know, I wrote the melody for him, imagining being my dad in the bath singing. And then Edge put in a very high note, I think it's a B-flat at the end, to make it really hard for him. Not knowing, of course, that years later on stage, we would try and attempt it, and so we were really making it really hard for ourselves. But I suppose that's my connection with him.
Well, look, if you'll allow us, here's a little thing.
Oh.
Great to hear.
Oh, my God. Thank you for that, Eddie.